Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is the NAIAF Ball Podcast powered by AdCraft. Custom apparel and merch, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform expert. Since 1974, they have been the best in the business. I am Corey Thorpe. I am, unfortunately, schwazless tonight. The intern is not able to be with me. Has other duties going on that has to attend to. So tonight, you just get me and the Heart North. That's right. We are going into the heart of America and covering what should be a really good conference this year. There were some surprises last year that we didn't foresee occurring, and maybe we should have. I don't know. We'll have to see what we've got. First up, starting from the bottom, is the William Penn Statesmen under new coach Mark Benavidez. William Penn is staying with a very familiar concept. It's not going to be straight triple option, but wishbone. That's right. Bear Bryant, Alabama, Texas A&M, wishbone, old school, absolutely loving it. Last year, they were 3-7, 1-4 in the Heart North, 76th overall in SP+, with the 63rd ranked offense and the 75th ranked defense. So definitely a team that was pretty even between the two sides of the ball. Now, they do have a couple of players returning, Kyrie Lewis being the first one here, a defensive line. Had 14.5 tackles for loss and 10 sacks a year ago, forced fumble, two pass breakups from that D-line spot, and Harlan Plummer, who had 109 tackles and 10.5 forced fumbles himself. The big one that you're losing for William Penn is Jagger Bluebaugh, who's going across the conference to Benedictine there and taking his 102 tackles, two interceptions, and three PBUs with him. That's a really big piece to lose for new coach Mark Benavidez. You also lose Dylan Wimmer and Jaden Curtis there for William Penn, but this is a new direction here. You lose your coach who's a very well respected coach around the league. Even on the selection committee for the NAIA. And you're kind of starting over. You get a new shot at this, a new lease on life with a coach who has taken a team like Avila to the playoffs, where just not that long ago Avila was seen as a team that was a basement dweller, a bottom feeder. So we'll have to see what Coach Benavidez can do over there. Now, he is bringing some pieces with him, like Joey Mars, LD Garner on defense, along with Liam Bryant and Dylan Frilla, KCAC all-conference offensive linemen, bringing them with them. It can't be overstated when you're talking about triple option, wishbone. Having the right offensive lineman in place is a huge deal. Coach Benavidez bringing a couple of pieces along with him this season. Looking at the overall state here, you're going to return almost all of your offense between basically you're bringing back Sterling Ramsey at quarterback, Destin Loring at running back, and Trey Mosley at wide receiver. Basically, everyone's coming back. Had very, very few seniors there on that roster. You are bringing in a majority of your defense, like I said. Coach Benavidez is restocking the cabinet from Avila a little bit here. About half of your D-line and your linebackers return, but you do have Howard Huerta and all of your DBs back. That's going to be a big deal for you there. The recent newcomer is up next here. We're talking about the Clark Pride. Clark having a really great season, especially for a team who hasn't been around a whole lot. 0-5 in the Heart North, but you're talking about 3-8 overall. You were 73rd overall in SP Plus with a dang near middle of the road defense, which for a team that went 3-8 is pretty dang good. You just struggled on offense. Now, their head coach from a year ago took it on up the road to Baker, and so they have new coach, a promotion, Adam Hicks, coming in. A little bit of a continuity pick here for Clark, and I think that's a good move because Clark was really, really good for a team who hasn't been around that long, especially in a very tough division. Now, they do return a lot of good pieces here. Gabe Deadweiler had 675 yards and 4 touchdowns receiving. Brian Valdez at the linebacker position, 2 forced fumbles, an interception, 6 pass breakups, 73 tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss. Joel Gonzalez there, 49 tackles, 5 interceptions at the DB spot. And I left off Gabe Guyton there, 27.7 yards average on the kick returns. And you don't have any All-Heart North players returning, or leaving, rather. You have everything returning. So you have a continuity pick as your head coach coming in. You have all of your talent from last year basically returning. We expect some big things out of the Clark Pride this year, especially when you have an outlook like this where you return most of your offense and most of your defense. You return your quarterback, Brandon Mueller, and most of your running backs, including Craig Elmore, who they expect to have a breakout season, and all of your wide receivers return. Definitely something they are looking at. They are definitely looking for a breakout senior for Elmore there at the running back position. Defensively, most of your D-line returns led by Griffin Mulcahy. All of your linebackers return headlined by Valdez, and most of your DBs return headlined by Gonzalez. This is a really interesting year for Clark to see, you know, if they can make another step forward, but it's going to be very difficult. The middle part of the Heart North is extremely compact right now, and we'll see that coming up here, but Clark is definitely pushing from the bottom here and trying to see where they can make some gains. Up ahead of them is another team that's trying to do just that, and it's one of the biggest surprises from last year. That's Graceland. Graceland's stepping up with a now second-year head coach and looking to do some really big things. They were 67th in SP Plus last year with a 4-7 record, 2-3 in the division. And a really balanced team. With their offense, you wouldn't really think that it would be that way since they had such a good offense. But they really did do well on defense, 59th and 60th. That's fairly middle of the road for a Graceland team that's struggled to find consistency and continuity in its staff. And I think now you've got some good footing. And I think Graceland is really poised for a good move next season. Some of the talent that they're returning is going to be Adarius Thomas is coming back, second-team all-conference running back. 2 first-team all-conference wide receivers in Gerald Monroe and Reggie Wilson, along with first-team offensive lineman Zay Atkins, and a kick returner who was also a wide receiver, Trey Blake, averaged 23.6. Literally, the only guy you're about losing is Cohen Fuller with 33 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, and 6.5 sacks. Other than that, they're very high on this team with basically returning all of your offense. They return almost everyone is what they're telling us. Now, that includes quarterback Cade Ross, who had a really good season last year. All your running backs returning, all your wide receivers returning. You return most of your defense. Cohen Fuller is really the only one you're losing there. You return most of your linebackers and all of your DBs. They are they're planning to try to make a move up the chart here. This is going to be an interesting team here. This is the only team of kind of your bottom four, which is hilarious because there's only six teams of the bottom two-thirds of this division that isn't replacing their head coach. That's a big deal, especially for a team like Graceland, who's had a lot of issues with staff continuity over the years. You've got to think that that's going to help them out a whole bunch here coming back. What can the Yellow Jackets do to push on the top half of the conference? We'll have to see, but we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors at AdCraft.
So you want to create and sell custom merch for your team or business. That's exciting, but where do you begin? How much inventory should you order? How do you distribute orders? AdCraft has your answers. Streamline the way you offer custom merch by utilizing our risk-free web store service. We ship directly to each customer, and we have the fastest turnaround in the game. Raise funds for your team or get merch to your employees and patrons. Contact AdCraft today, and let's bring your merch to life.
And that is exactly what they do. AdCraft, one of the best in the business at it. We've used them multiple times for our own stuff. This t-shirt, yes, it's Grandview shirt, but it's going to be hard to see on the back. It is co-branded with NAIAF Ball on the back. These guys are NAI born and bred here. Actually, two of their sons, basically, are graduated or just have recently graduated from Grandview's football team. This is a class of the Midwest here, hardworking folks, value-oriented. If that's what you want to be about for your team, whether it be in the business world or for your NAI team or anything else, give our friends at AdCraft a call. You're not going to be disappointed. I can just about guarantee that. Next up on our list, the Peru State Bobcats, the Oak Bowl Bunch, had a really nice year last year, 6-5, an above 500 record for one of the Heart North, really. Came down to the end of the season there with Grandview to see who was going to take the Heart North. They were 50th, almost dead middle in SP+, and that's a heck of a split for them. The 86th overall offense with 3.85 yards per play, but the 23rd ranked defense with 4.28. And you say, man, that's the 23rd ranked defense again. Remember, SP+ is opponent adjusted and pace adjusted. So what you see there is a truer representation than what we've been able to provide in years past. They have a new head coach, Phil Akinga, from South Dakota, coming to the NAI with a head coaching gig, was a position coach at South Dakota, is coming to play and to coach the players in the Oak Bowl. They had an absolute ton of talent last year, and they did good things with it. Tyree Schieffer there, 589 yards receiving. Devin Adams doing double duty with defensive line and punter. That's not a combination you see terribly often. But I tell you what, I wouldn't want to get tackled by that punter. That's for sure and certain. And it's not like they were just sticking some rando out there to punt. He's getting an average of 38.4 yards. That's going to be close to the top tier in the NAIA, that 40-yard mark, kind of your gold standard, along with 52 tackles, 21 tackles for loss, first-teamer in two positions. Kevon Lofton only managing in one position, obviously, but he did well with 43 tackles, 9 for loss, and 3 sacks, along with 6 pass breakups from that defensive line spot. Craig Jones and Jarius Curry return at DB. They had 15 pass breakups combined, 1 interception between them. And they do return Mac Bocout, who was 9-for-11 a year ago. They do have a few players that are leaving, whether it be Clayton Thrasher, the first-team linebacker with 96 tackles, 2 forced fumbles, a pick, 4 pass breakups, along with 12.5 tackles for loss. Deontay Dozier at defensive back, the first-teamer, 7 pass breakups and a pick. And Carlos Thomas, the second-team defensive back, 5 picks, 8 pass breakups. So it was a very good year for Peru State. It's a team that neither I nor John saw coming. We both had Culver Stockton as kind of the pick to click alongside Grandview in the Heart North, and Peru State kind of snuck up on us. That's why we say this two through five here in the Heart North is going to be very interesting to watch, because Peru State returns all of its offense. It returns its quarterback in Will Mueller. All of its running backs return, including Leader Station Livington, and all of its wide receivers return. You know, and that's going to be extremely interesting to see, as you return most of that really good defense, all your D-line returns, a majority of your linebackers return, and most of your DBs return, aside from those two mentioned earlier. So you've got most of your pieces parts back from that 23rd ranked defense. You have another year for the offense. You've just got to figure out how to hit the ground running with a new head coach. That's going to be the interesting part there for Peru State. Can they hit the ground running? And now we go from basically a lot of the teams here having new head coaches, all except for one, to a team that has had a head coach for a while, and both these teams have had a lot of continuity on their head coaching gig. First up is Culver Stockton, 5-6, 3-2 in the Heart North. They're just ahead of Peru State there. 50 was Peru State, 46 is Culver Stockton. 21st ranked offense, almost the exact opposite of Peru State here with a 64th ranked defense. This is your first yards per play that's going to be in the positive range, as even Graceland's was a little negative. Culver Stockton had a good year. Wasn't great. Did lose a couple down the stretch that took them out of position, but they do return a lot of talent, including DeMarcus Johnson, Slayton Ochoa, Isaiah Eppinger, and Dominic Herrera. 4 really nice weapons there. 414 yards for Johnson, 608 for Ochoa, 262 for Eppinger, and 197 for Herrera. You return an O-lineman there, all-conference in Tyrese Miller, and 2 all-conference defensive positions in Kendall Fowler and Hunter Fiden. Fowler with 2 forced fumbles and 10.5 tackles for loss. Hunter Fiden with 9.5 tackles for loss. But really, the big one that you've got to replace is going to be Jace Orendorf. He was a longtime starter for you, a quarterback who really took care of the football. 21 touchdowns, 7 picks. 57.4 completion percentage and 6.4 yards per play is a little low, so we'll see if that continues there or if they're going to be able to improve upon that. You do lose Andrew Rowe and you lose David Hernandez in your back end, but on the whole, you return most of everyone else. You got to figure out who's going at quarterback for you, but all your wide receivers and running backs return. And you return most of your defense. Most of your DBs return. All of your D-line returns, about half of your linebackers return. You got to figure out here who's going to step up in those spots and see if you can keep your spot there and see if you can make life difficult for the last one on this list. And it's a perennial playoff team here in Grandview. The Vikings, 13-1, 5-0 last year, 8th overall in SP Plus, 20th ranked offense, still with 6.25 yards per play, and the 9th ranked defense, which is a little surprising that it's 9th with, you know, less a sub 4 yards per play there. But again, it's also who you play. And that strength of schedule that goes into that defense. And here we have the sides of returning and leaving are going to get separated out here as there's a wealth of talent returning for Grandview as usual. Whether it's Ali Scott with almost 1,000 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns. Avery Gates, the kick returner and running back. 2 kick return touchdowns for Gates along with almost 500 yards rushing. It's a good spell for Scott for sure. You bring back Damon Street with 829 yards of receiving. Nate Willickson, 154 from the tight end position. 2 all-conference, first-team all-conference offensive linemen in Jason Weiland and Christian Stoller. And a lot of defensive talent. Tristan Waugh, Kaim Mosley, Nate Ewell, Seth Adrian, all dudes that fly around and get some stuff done at their spot and causing chaos. And you return Nathan Hamilton, who is an excellent kicker for you, clutch, and very good day-to-day as well, 14 of 16 with a long of 52. But here's where it gets interesting. You've got to replace Johnny Sullivan. And I have been on record for calling Johnny Sullivan a game manager. He was one of the best. How do you replace Johnny Sullivan? Well, Grandview tried to bring in a transfer from Northwestern. And that didn't work out. Blake Fryer goes and takes a coaching spot. How do you replace Johnny Sullivan? That's the huge question. You have 2 all-conference offensive linemen, first-teamers, that are gone. A second-team offensive lineman that's gone as well. That's a lot of offensive line to replace. You lose Carson Rollinger, 805 yards and 11 touchdowns. Sullivan, look at those stats that you can't see that I have in front of me. 3,400-yard passer. 35 touchdowns, 15 picks, 61.5% completion percentage. You're going to have to figure out how to replace some major, major pieces on your offense. Defensively, it's a little bit more the same. You'll lose Jake Richardson, the defensive end for you, who had 4 sacks and 2 forced fumbles. Rocky Shainfelder, your leading tackler, with 85 of those. 5.5 tackles for loss. You have to replace Gianni Angelo, 21 tackles, 8 pass breakups, and Felix King with 8 pass breakups of his own. But Grandview is going to Grandview, and I think Grandview is probably going to be fine. You're going to find a quarterback. You return 2 all-conference offensive linemen. You return 2 all-conference running backs. You have the potential to let a signal caller grow into the position, and I think that's what Grandview's going to have to do. We'll see if they get one through the portal or not. But if not, I think you're going to be fine. What do they look like? You return a majority of your offense. Most of your running backs return. A majority of your wide receivers return. The biggest question mark is at quarterback. Defensively, you're probably going to be fine, but that's a good half of your defense that you're losing there. Beside the 4 that I named, there's a lot of seniors that left last year that weren't in all-conference selections, but that played decent times. Half your D-line returns, a majority of your linebackers return, and half of your DBs return. There's a lot there. There's a lot there that you've got to replace, and Grandview's got to figure out a way to do that and not miss a beat. All right, and the moment y'all have all been waiting for, let's get to some picks. Still got everybody up here, got all the picks this week. I'll go first, and to no one's surprise, I'm going with Grandview. They reload every year. But dark horse, it's going to be Graceland this year. They are definitely aiming high, and they should be. They've got a lot coming back and should be very good once again. John, also going with Grandview. Again, no shocker there. He's also going with Graceland, going with a twofer for the Yellow Jackets. And again, no shocker. Grandview, outright winner here. But Matt's going with Peru State for the dark horse. Don't know how much of a dark horse Peru State is anymore, to be honest with you. But definitely something to keep an eye on as the Bobcats look to get better. Now, let's go to my favorite. The last portion here of our show, the reading of the patrons. Guys, if you enjoy what we do, this is the best way for you to join us in that work. It keeps the lights on, it pays the bills, and if you enjoy what we do and want to see the coverage grow, this is how you do it. So, without further ado, you've got DSU Cone, Bob Boone, Roger Meyer, Jeremy Vauble, Shirley LaBella, Fred Christensen, Alex Garcia, Jerry Quickle, Ace Wellen, Nick Ryan, Hayden Ferrigno, Kyle Gregory, Tyler Pierce, Justin Hoffman, Steve Speakman, Brian Shake, Julianne Shager, Nate Soapbeer, Stephen Cutler, Julie Lout, Tim Burrow, Dale Norton, Nathan Moore, Dylan Gonzalez, and Ryan. So, thank y'all so much for joining us again on the NAIAF Ball Podcast. Join us next week as we turn our attention to the South and see who is going to stack up in a very competitive Heart of America South Division. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast presented by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast as well as to our YouTube channel. Leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFBALL and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.